As summer winds down and people try to make the most out of our beautiful Michigan environment, many may be fighting off an age-old pest, the mosquito. But what makes mosquitoes more attracted to some people over others? Many myths have circulated about the cause of this rather annoying phenomenon, but scientific research is also out there about what factors make mosquitoes swarm to certain people, and it has to do with a lot more than blood. To find out more about mosquitoes' cuisine selection process, we welcome back Ned Walker. Ned's a professor from the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics at the Department of Entomology here at MSU. Welcome back, Ned.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for joining us. The palates of mosquitoes. Break it down for me. What would be a mosquito's idea of a gourmet meal?
Fascinating. Mosquitoes are amazing in this regard. We have a mosquito species in Michigan that only bites frogs. So go figure that. I mean, there's that much breadth and host selection. Even though I know your question is about just variation and attractancy of different people, we could just back up a little bit and think about the mosquitoes. We have some that only bite birds, for example, many species. Some that are very Catholic or have great breadth in their host selection across a wide range of groups of vertebrates. So that's fascinating. And mosquitoes can smell very well. Mosquitoes smell carbon dioxide. We should be glad we can't, because we'd just be overwhelmed by the odor of that. It's a chemical in the atmosphere. They're exquisite sensors of humidity. Our own research here at Michigan State has found that mosquitoes can discriminate between 15 and 17% moisture content of a substrate or a, you know, and so you might think about a human being, which is really, each of us is surrounded by an envelope of carbon dioxide because we exhale it, and water vapor and because we also exhale it.
Humidity, yeah.
Exactly, and so that's our sort of our chemical shadow. Now, mosquitoes sense that, but those are general attractors. But then where does the variation come from? And this is where it gets really interesting, because research done by others, especially a Dutch group at Wageningen University, have focused on, it's focused on skin bacteria. And there are certain bacteria called Karyne bacteria, which are actually the same bacteria associated with, here it comes, cheesy feet smell. Yeah, okay.
That is scary news.
Yeah, it is.
Well, this is why they always go for the ankles, right? I swear, if we could just breed a mosquito that just avoided the ankles, I mean, life would be noticeably better.
It is, and so, and you know, basically body odor and foot odor, and that allows is associated with a proliferation of bacteria on our skin.
How does a mosquito detect humidity? Is that clear? I mean, obviously a sense of smell would, you know, if that's a part of a mosquito's anatomy, but humidity, how does that work? Do we know?
We know very little about that. I mean, you and I know when we're close to a body of water, we can kind of feel it, or when the rain is coming, but how do we even know? And so all insects have devices called sensilla, which are sensory apparatus. Because their cuticle is hard, they have these, they're like little sensors on their cuticle, basically. And mosquitoes have particular sensors that, A, can detect humidity, carbon dioxide, these odors I mentioned, and also other chemicals, too. And they're very, very well armed for what we call chemical ecology, which is the detection and then reaction to chemicals that emanate from human hosts or birds or other animals, depending upon what they might end up feeding on.
You know, the extraordinary diversity just amongst mosquitoes that you have been talking about leads me to wonder if mosquitoes must be a great opportunity for people interested in evolution to study how the diversity there and the evolution, the finely tuned evolutionary
Very
process
much so.
That went into creating all these features.
It's true. I mean, we know that mosquitoes evolved around the time of the large reptiles, the dinosaurs. And, of course, that was before there were any mammals.
Mm-hmm.
So the original sort of primordial mosquitoes had to have been feeding on cold-blooded animals. And today, we still have lots of mosquito species. And there are about 2,500 species of mosquitoes on Earth. And many of them only feed on birds, and we still have some that are actually feed on snakes. Mm. And I did mention the one that's a frog feeder. And those, of course, two things about that. One is those animals don't have sweat glands, so there's nothing associated with sweating that would attract those mosquitoes, whereas the mosquitoes that feed on mammals, including humans, are attracted to components of sweat. So there's a divergence in terms of the evolution question you mm-hmm. just asked.
I'm also thinking if a mosquito can specialize just in some reptiles, I think of reptiles as having thicker skins than human beings. They must be able to really penetrate. I guess I wouldn't want to be attacked by a mosquito that specializes only in reptiles because you might really notice that bite.
Yeah, if you know the book Pilgrim at Tinker Creek by Annie Dillard, there's a scene in there where she's walking in nature and she sees a snake, and what she talks about is that she observes a mosquito biting the snake that's basking in the sun. It's a fascinating piece of that book.
We're talking with Ned Walker, professor from the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics here at Michigan State, about mosquitoes and why they're attracted to some and not others. Does blood type play a role here? Can mosquitoes distinguish that?
No, the blood is the endpoint of the host-seeking process, and they only access the blood after they've landed, and then the mosquito it explores and probes the skin surface, and then it inserts its mouth parts. It's a fascicle of six different needle-like structures, and then the exploration continues because mosquitoes' feeding mechanism is very elegant. They actually cannulate or insert their mouth parts into a capillary. They can find a capillary. And so, of course, it's only then that they would encounter the blood, and that's long after they've landed and decided, so to speak, that they're going to feed on that animal.
There's a Forrest Gump joke in there somewhere, like the box of chocolates, right? What about body type?
Well, probably. I mean, obviously, when I talked before about skin bacteria and body odors, that's a hygiene element. And of course, in addition, if people are exercising, I know that when I mow the lawn in the evening and the mosquitoes come out and I'm starting to build up a sweat, they really bomb me. Mm-hmm. So it's just my output of those odors. But body type, if you're a larger person, you just have that larger humidity and carbon dioxide element, or envelope around you. But not really. I mean, it's not like tall people or short people or anything like that are particularly more attractive. It really has to do with the output of this chemical signature.
Some studies say that someone drinking beer is more likely to attract mosquitoes. Is there anything to that?
The same Dutch group I mentioned, maybe they were drinking beer when they came up with the idea for that experiment. I don't know. I know those guys personally, and it wouldn't surprise me. It's a good bunch of fellows. They actually did demonstrate that in a laboratory study. And, its relevance to the field, I'm not too sure. It does have a touch of humor to it. But, if you think about it, if you're imbibing a carbon substrate like alcohol, which is, ethanol, you're adding to your carbon load, and carbon dioxide is the endpoint metabolism of ethanol, and so you're going to be putting out more carbon dioxide. And that was their conclusion. It actually is logical.
How many total species of mosquitoes do we have here in Michigan?
We have 60 species in Michigan. And
how many of them bite humans?
Probably about 40 of those. Yeah, okay. The rest are either bird feeders and the one frog feeder I mentioned.
Okay. And is there one or two? Are there just a few that tend to attack humans?
No, we have several that really are heavily attracted to humans and to other mammals. Okay. There are certain times when I think it must be really bad to be a white-tailed deer in Michigan in the summer. It just must get bombed by mosquitoes in the forests.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Historically, have species come and gone? Is that known? I mean, like some animals, have the number of species here in Michigan, has it gone up and down, do you think?
It has. We've actually acquired a few species in the recent past. We've had an invasion by an Asian mosquito species called Aedes japonicus, and by its name, you can tell it came from Asia. It arrived as in the egg stage and used tire casings that were shipped around, and somebody here in Michigan bought tire casings from Asia and they were shipped in, and with them came the mosquito eggs. And that mosquito invaded and established very quickly. It's a backyard mosquito and a day biter too. So unfortunately, that's an example of a human biter that's been added to our list.
What can people do to make themselves less appealing to mosquitoes?
Well, use of repellents is a standard approach, and repellents they manipulate the chemical ecology of mosquitoes directly. Mosquitoes actually smell the active ingredients in the repellents. It's not that repellents block the odors we've been talking about. They actually smell the DEET or the other. There's a few other repellents available now over the counter that are effective, and they don't like the smell and they're repelled by it actively, and those are the best personal ways to protect mosquitoes.
Friends joined us on our patio earlier this summer, and afterwards they gifted us with a citronella plant. And we didn't know quite how to feel about it at the time, but how effective is citronella?
Well, I get questions like that a lot, or for some other things like garlic and so on. And, citronella is a mild chemical repellent. It doesn't have anywhere near the strong effect of DEET or some of the other on-skin applications. And so, of course, people are free to try them, but I don't think the expectations should be too high.
We've been talking to Ned Walker. Ned's a professor from the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics at the Department of Entomology here at MSU, all about Michigan mosquitoes and their cuisine selection process. Ned has been very enlightening, as always. Many thanks.